So let's get started. I don't know. We give the time. It's about 8 o'clock. Let's get into it. So first article, we just pulled up four for the week. There's really no objective here. We just want to take a look at some current events. So Nick, did you see, can you see my screen right now? The Hyundai Prophecy. So apparently they're dumping the Ioniq in the Hyundai brand. And this is probably just a rendering or concept car, but what do we think about that? What do we think about that?
That is sleek.
Yeah, you know, sleek. You know what's funny? The Ioniq, I don't know, and maybe some Hyundai guys are going to prove us very wrong. I feel like it never really got its share in the EV. And it's funny because there's two versions, of course, same like the Prius. You have the Prius Prime and you have, you know, the hybrid version. And the same thing with the Ioniq, but I feel like it just never quite caught on just because it didn't have that lineage, I guess, that, you know, the Honda did or the Toyota did, I should say. I guess the...
Right. It's tough, you know. It's tough when you have a whole line of fuel, you know, gasoline vehicles, and then you're throwing in something, and you're really not putting a lot of momentum behind it, you know.
So why do you think Toyota does so well with the Prius? Is that just because it's like the household name for hybrid or EV?
Yeah, they just, you know, they were the pioneers of the hybrid, and years ago when they launched it. It's been a household name. I mean, other guys have come and gone, and they change things up. They want to dabble in that market, and
I guess that's one thing. Just the power of the brand name, because you know it's even the same thing too. I think Chevrolet, they were in that little bit of a spot with the Volt. It was a great vehicle for those that wanted an option, I guess, outside the traditional Toyota, the Prius. But I don't know. I feel like naming for EVs. Tell me I'm wrong, but I feel like naming has a lot to do with them. Like. Chevrolet, there's the Volt and Bolt.
I tell you one thing. Can I go here for a second?
Yeah, do it.
The Volt was a full electric car, was it not?
No, the Volt was actually – so it was basically a hybrid. And I'm using that term loosely because what it actually had was a gas generator. And I could be very wrong. I hope an engineer corrects me and we'll have him on the next show. But I believe it was like a gas generator that powered and supplied more wattage or voltage to that electrical engine. But it never really found its footing because you basically had the Bolt that always, in Ontario, there was that government credit. The Bolt always qualified for the full-blown amount. So it almost like was never as good of a buy, to get the Volt. If you had the bravery of going full EV, I guess.
And you're right. You know, to stop you in your tracks for one moment there, I think a lot of electric cars did take off because of the government grant. And then when Doug Ford put a stop to it, sales went down, right? So, you know, it's it's coincidence.
Yeah. In the ISF program, so that's running right now. You know, and funny thing with our dealership, you tell me about what you experienced though too. I found when that government grant was running, it was crazy. There were people coming out of every nook and cranny as an EV. I don't want to say the word tree hugger, but you know, just I'm fully supporting the cause. And it's so funny. As soon as that grant went away, it was the most quiet thing, right?
Yeah, the cause totally dropped, you know what I mean? But nobody saw really the back end of what the dealerships had to deal with too. You know, there was a lot of different criteria, things that, you know, when you bought an EV car, you know, you couldn't trade it for X amount of years because you got the grant but you're right. Going back to that, I mean, I think I heard that Tesla's was almost $25,000 for the rebate.
What?
I mean, yeah.
And like Border, it's funny because they get away as an EV car, but really it's just very thinly veiled luxury, right? You know, just for the product that you get.
But yeah, so I mean, when you're throwing money out like that and people want to have that stature, you know, you look at Tesla as the cream of the crop in the electric vehicles. So yeah, I mean, if you're looking at a $80,000 Tesla and now you're getting $25,000 off, and then you're looking at a Prius Prime that you're getting $5,000 rebate. For $30,000. I mean, it's, you know, people's.
And obviously those are very payment driven buyers. They munch the cost of the car, not even by month, but by day, right? By trip. So that's what we were always up against. And you know what? Anyways, I'm trying to get in as much use of these sounds as we can. So the Chevrolet Volt, you were a good car. That was just sad violin.
Yeah,
that was
just going for the moment, you know, like, hey, we got that violin going for the the death of the electric car. You know?
Goodbye.
Just take a moment. Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah, gasolines. Gasoline. Trading at $15 a barrel.
Yeah. And, you know what? Can I get a shout out to the awesome gas prices right now? That's unbelievable, dude.
I tell you right now, Hellcat sales are going through the roof.
You know what? It's funny though. The thing that really irritates me right now is the fact that now gas is cheaper than it's been since I've been driving, probably. And I have nowhere to drive to. I can't even use my gas tank. It's not right, man. It's not right.
I put in $20. It lasted me 6 weeks. You know, and this is Nick. Nick with the first time with a soundboard. He's gonna have to make some changes soon. You know, and we're gonna have to have the one with the
snare. The drum kit. I promise that's the last one for a little bit, but this is going to be, it's going to be awful. It's going to steal the show. But yeah, what do you think? The Hyundai Prophecy. But back to that, you think that name, but look at the way they spelt it with an F, Prophecy. You know, that's sleek. Yeah. So somebody got paid a lot of money to swap the S and the C, right? And the best part is until that customer comes to the dealership, they're never going to know, right? They're going to be Googling the wrong thing. That's what I don't understand. Just from an SEO perspective, when manufacturers try and do this fun stuff, it is the dumbest thing you can possibly do because people are going to be spelling your car wrong. It's not going to show up in search results. That's just a quick rant, but I don't get it personally. But what do you think of this spelling?
But you know what, though? I think it creates you're right. It creates illusion. It creates, like, I mean, the vehicle's a sleek vehicle, right? I mean, if you would have just called it out and said Prophecy, you know how much bang would it have had, right?
Yeah.
If you get people looking for it and they put some money behind it, I mean, it's a nice looking vehicle. Whether it comes out looking like that, or relatively close, it's a nice looking vehicle. I believe that's probably going to be a winner for them in the electric market. You know, I think people are if you're going after a younger demographic.
Yeah,
I think the younger demographic wants sleek, right? And they want to do their part, right? You know, you take the Prius, you know, it's always got that kind of that stigma there, right? Older guy's car, you know what I mean?
Well, but good on you know the funny thing though. Take a look, like obviously, like if you were to Photoshop this car and you took away the rims. So first of all, those look like turbines, man. It looks like you're about to get sucked into a jet engine, right?
Right.
You take those rims away. You take away the gloss and you add mirrors, you get rid of the spoiler and you get rid of all the glare. It would kind of just look like a regular Hyundai, man. Aside from like the Porsche looking headlights. But,
right, right.
But nonetheless, let's see how it does. We won't dwell on it.
See how it does. I'm going to put that in my calendar. See how it does.
Yeah, let's see how it does. Anyways, on to the next one. And that's cool, eh? Just real fast, the EV skateboard platform. Yeah. I don't have the article in front of me, but I was seeing that there was somebody who whether it's a good idea or not, basically it did these concept renderings for Tesla, and it was almost like that skateboard flatbed. You know what they're talking about, right? Just the batteries and the powertrain of the car, and you basically just affix whatever you want onto the frame. So the guy had like a bus variation, like a sports car rendition, and it was kind of neat about how all of a sudden in the future, like that whole concept, and they tried to do this with phones, like 5 years ago. Do you remember that Windows phone? They said, you know what? This is the first modular phone. If you want a better camera, you just strap it on, right? Or you want a bigger battery, you do that. And look how hard that failed. So anyways, I don't think automotive is going to do that for the next little while, but that would be an interesting experiment, right?
Well, I think anybody that gets creative, it creates attention too, right? So. Yeah. You know, let's see how these guys do.
Can you imagine modding your car in the future and you're literally just swapping out like a 50 part, like the hood, and you're just plugging in a new hood with a USB, and all of a sudden you get, I don't know, something like heated hood or something stupid like that? That would just be, funny, eh? you're gonna have guys going to the parts department buying like storage cards. Hey, my car ran out of memory. Yeah. I need to upgrade my memory here.
imagine sitting in the business office and upgrading your warranty.
Yeah, upgrading. Oh. Yeah. Upgrading.
So what does it cover? Does it cover the heated hood? You know, honestly, you know, that's
that'll be real funny too. Eh? You get the warranty on the 64 gigabyte. I don't even know what kind of bytes they're gonna have in the future, but. Okay, on to the next one. So Toyota Yaris, this is brand new. So check this out. Thanks, Motor One, for the article. Well, we're gonna dissect this. And Adrian looking real nice in that photo. But the Toyota Yaris, are there too many crossovers in the market right now? Like, why did this need to happen? Do you think it'll sell as an ex-Toyota guy? What do you think?
You know, again, there's always that group of people that like the next newest best thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that market, that small little market, I mean, I think more and more people in Canada
are looking for
all-wheel drives, yeah. Right, too. You know what I mean? So this is a nice little bonus. And you're not looking for something too big.
Is that CHR, Nick? Is the CHR all-wheel drive? That's the Toyota mid-range.
No. Funny that you say that. In Canada, they didn't bring the all-wheel drive. It's only a front-wheel drive.
Wow, okay.
So that's funny because you're right. When it comes down to it, the Honda HR-V always tend to be the winner, you know, when it came to having an all-wheel drive and a small crossover.
Yep. So. Hey, no, keep going, man. I'm just going to reset the camera. We've already been 15 minutes. Isn't that wild?
That's wild.
That is pretty nice. Okay. Keep going, man. By all means.
Well, you know, I don't know much about the vehicle, and I don't know a ton about the market. I mean, you know, Hyundai, I think, released the Venue.
Yeah, it was the Hyundai Venue, and they have the Kia. The Kia Seltos. And yeah, you're right. So the Void here, I'm just going to reset the timer, Nick. The Void that was missing in that lineup, which was really interesting, I didn't know, the Soul is not available in all-wheel drive. And it's almost like now you're buying an entirely different vehicle, literally just for that all-wheel drive feature. So I guess this is kind of the same route that they're going on, eh?
Right. I mean, again, let's discuss it, though. I mean, things are different, though, when the time tells, right? I mean, is this something that they're going to bring to Canada?
Yeah, right? That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, they're always showing, getting guys excited, but, you know, it doesn't always mean they're going to release it here.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, that's always been an interesting fact with how these manufacturers work, you know. But, again, if they feel there's a market for it, they definitely could use an all-wheel drive, smaller vehicle.
Yeah. Like, check that out. Position below the CHR. So even tinier, yeah. Which is really interesting. You know what? I think in a lot of it just has to do with the idea of people, you know, this is the oldest thing I've ever heard is, you know, I just want to feel a little bit more comfortable sitting a little bit higher off the ground. And whether this is just an exercise in great marketing or really a real need for this product, I guess it's coming.
Well, I tell you, if you're a young family or you're a single person going to work every day, you don't need a big vehicle. You don't carry much people in the back. You know, it has an all-wheel drive, and you're getting great fuel economy. I mean, that becomes a winner, right? You know, no doubt about it. And price point,
especially too. Like I just wonder, talking about the ride sharing economy. You know, obviously there's these near distance, I don't know, future talk conversations about, you know, the future of fleet vehicles and, you know, kind of on demand. You know, Turo is obviously more luxury vehicles in terms of renting, but who's not to say that in the next couple of years Toyota is going to have one of those you know, ride sharing platforms built into their car, right? You know, Tesla's talking about, and again, obviously a different story here, you know, different company, but Tesla's talking about having that fleet of autonomous vehicles on the road. Right. That basically you can just request here and there. So I don't know. Maybe it's Toyota's attempt at bringing in that super, super infrastructure and reliability. And all of a sudden, all they need is really a good app. Like, I guarantee their infotainment can keep all that stuff, you know, up to speed, and maybe a rideshare economy. So maybe guys are just trying to find the right car for something like that, too. Who knows?
Right. But you know what? It does.
I'll take off the tinfoil. It's all right, Nick. It's off now.
You know, like, again, you know what I mean? This is, you know, this looks like a winner, right? I mean, the Yaris doesn't do big numbers, you know, versus the Corolla. But, you know, again, you bring out something new, fresh and exciting, and price point is key. So, I mean, if you're offering price point, you're offering safety, reliability, of course, Toyota, you know, and all-wheel drive system. I mean, Yeah, sure. You know, like it's
especially
it's a winner.
Especially if this is what it says it is. Like everybody can throw anything they want at a rendering here, but the badging, if it's hybrid, if it borrows anything from that Prius, remember. So guys, if you weren't there, you probably weren't. So on press release day, Nick and I were there. One of the most interesting things that they told us, and this is a cool little tidbit of information. I'm gonna blow up the number or get it horribly wrong, but I think they were saying somewhere in the neighborhood of every. I'm just gonna go conservative, but. The amount of batteries and technology it takes to make one EV car is equivalent to about 6 or 7 hybrids, maybe more. So basically what that means is, you know, at the end of the day, if Toyota was given the opportunity to produce one full EV car or use those resources to divide it across those 7, you're actually from a, I don't know, like a company standpoint, you're going to be doing more for I don't know, the global society or just emission standards and getting better fuel economy across all 7 cars as opposed to just one. Which is really interesting, right?
But you know, it's funny that you say that. You know, there's always cross information, and everybody's always sharing information, and whether it's the right information, again, I don't know. But I remember sitting in Toyota University, and them saying that they're going more direction of the hybrid. You know, they feel confident with that. Toyota's gonna go leaps and bounds. So again, I don't know what's going to happen with the electric car over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I know hybrid's not going away, that's for sure. And, they're at a price point now. They're getting better and better at a price point. So, when it comes to that, I mean, if you were looking at a hybrid, sometimes it could cost you $4,000 more, right? Yeah. I mean, now – Toyota's making it, from $1,500 to $2,000, right?
That Rive, Nick, the RAV4 Prime that's coming out, or I think it's RAV4 Hybrid.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes.
That's
no, it was the Prime. We saw it at the show, did we not?
The RAV4 Prime is basically, what is it going to have a range of, like 80 kilometers electric? That's pretty snazzy. And hey, even just talking about the hybrid RAV4, I think the what the premium is on it, it's only like $2,300 if you think about that. But that's pretty forgiving. You're gonna pay that off in about 3.5 years. So even before lease is over, which is kind of cool. It's just availability. That's the big thing right now, of course.
Yeah.
Hot demand, but this is interesting. I had a laugh at this one. Okay, so this is on a site called The Truth About Cars. Because there's a lot of misinformation, and I guess they're implying somebody's hiding something. Who's doing the hiding? Who's doing the hiding, Nick? Do we know?
You never know. You never know who's doing. Who, you know what I mean? Fake news, right? I don't know.
Hey,
right?
I think we got something
you
for that.
Fake news.
Somebody's
you
doing the hiding.
Fake news.
There. I'm so glad you worked that in. Thank you so much. I spent minutes looking for these sound bites here.
That's me. Once I take the tinfoil off, I'm good to go.
The real question is this fake news or is this real? But anyways, on this website, so I had a quick laugh at this. So pandemic to influence automotive design. Here come the premium air filters. This had me laughing, man, because obviously this is going to be a thing manufacturers start to pump out I could just see it now, the car commercial of how many babies can you have in a car commercial sleeping peacefully and gently? You know what I mean? But now there's going to be some group of marketing executives being paid way too much money. They're going to say, how can we portray clean air quality in a commercial? You know, without making it look like it's a Dyson, you know, and then them blowing up, you know, the filter of the car to show every component, right?
I see where this is going. It's funny that you say that because they will. They'll probably add an extra layer of material inside their filters.
Dude, it's going to be.
We know where this is going.
It's going to be hilarious, man. So I obviously I sleep in a basement. We have an air purifier. Listen, I buy the filters off Amazon for $15. Okay, it's HEPA, which means it's allergy rated. Basically, it's going to reduce the allergens in the air, fumes, whatever, you know, dust, all that good stuff. That's a HEPA filter. I laugh because it's $15. Okay. This technology, it's not technology. It's literally just a filter, man. This has been around for ages. But the best part is, I guarantee you, some manufacturer is going to come around, and I'm not going to say any manufacturer's names, but they're going to call it the dynamic air filtration, and there's going to be some wild acronym like WIND, like wireless enhanced, integrated electronic, aerosol cancellation. It's going to be ridiculous, man. And these premium.
I tell you, the guy that's first to market is going to make some money. So,
man,
it is what it is. You know, so
it's going to be funny though. I remember there was a, I was watching a clip and it was Elon, Elon Musk talking about how this was ages ago. Tesla was, you know, they had industrial or hospital grade. I don't know why the designation to air filters, but you know, talking about the quality of it. And I was laughing because it's like, that's a company that would just put it in their cars and then the conversation is done. And that's not where you're buying it, right? But you know, every other traditional manufacturer is just going to ride that till the end, right? The 2021s, you're going to pay extra. I hate to say it, but you're going to pay extra, right? Isn't that going to be so stupid? But that had me laughing. So is it fake news? Probably not.
Probably not. You know, this is something they could definitely I think this is going to go wild. Let's keep a note to self on this one here. It's going in the calendar right now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So for later.
Like, you can have the regular filter, but now, hey.
You know what? I just want to
check out this filter.
Hey, guys, we have a special guest right now. He's joining us live. You've probably seen him in a Lincoln commercial.
All right.
Matthew McConaughey, he's having wireless connection problems. We may have to get him back here, but he was just texting us in the chat here. He thinks those air filters are going to be great, and he did not confirm or deny they may be coming to a Lincoln near you. So thanks, Matthew. We really appreciate that. That's excellent. I don't know, man. I don't know. Awesome. I feel like I feel like I've paid for these sound effects. And I'm just trying to like stretch it. You know, it's use all the bandwidth I can. Nick, check this one out. You got to check this one out. This one had me laughing, and I'm so sorry it had me laughing. See this guy? Do you see what he's doing here?
Yes.
Do you see that wicked work boot? He's a working man, right? He's a working man.
He's a working guy. It's a work truck. Yeah,
it's a work truck.
Looks
good, it looks like
a crew max. I mean, I don't know if it's a work truck anymore, but
yeah. But the cool thing about it is he, you know, you could tell it, maybe he's just starting his day. There's no mud on his boots, nothing like that.
He could be a supervisor.
He could be, and he's probably a foreman. Most likely he's a foreman because his clothes are way too clean. His truck's got no dirt on it. Yeah. Beautiful. But the thing that had me laughing here. See that little step here at the very bottom?
Yeah.
2019, 2020, Ram heavy-duty pickups with Mopar bed step. Almost 38,000 of them were recalled because the step wasn't supporting the weight of the people who were stepping on it. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. I mean that's a pretty big recall on a step.
This little thing. So you imagine you were the guy at the factory, and it's probably not even the guy at the factory's fault, but obviously, you know, it wasn't attached, right? Maybe on the, you know, where it connects to the truck, but apparently it's not holding as much weight as it should. And the real question is, did they ever talk about how much weight it should hold? Like, these are the real questions. You know what? Maybe for all we know on Mopar Insiders, maybe that's fake news. We don't know, quite honestly, do we? Here, how much? So Ram step.
We don't know.
Ram step. How much weight? That's kind of crazy. If there's a weight restriction, because what's the point of that? If you're carrying, I don't know, a bag of sand, now all of a sudden you're carrying two bags of sand and you can't step up, right? Anyways, we're just asking the hard questions. That's all. So obviously we're not going to find anything. I'm sure there's a Product Plus guy cringing inside saying we're doing it all wrong, but. You know, a trainer, but I thought that was interesting. Hey, what an innocent recall. You know, the step wasn't doing everything that it should. Kind of interesting, eh?
Yeah, I don't know if that's fake news. I don't know.
It could very well be fake news. You know what? So, and this is the shame, Nick. So, and everybody watching, if you're still watching here, so we recorded an episode, and I'm telling Nick live on the air here. We had a little bit of recording problems. About half of it disappeared. But that's okay. One of the things we had talked about, and I want to make a real hard segue. Nick, you've been seeing a lot of commercials for Progressive. We were talking about brand ambassadors, you know, and in mascots. Right?
Yes, we were.
You're trying to figure out where I'm going with this. I really don't have a strategy, but you were linking me a few things here with Flo, and we were just laughing last episode. Do you think Flo is ever going to switch or transition into talking about car sales, or she's just going to stay in the insurance realm? What do you think, man?
Well, you know what? It depends. Depends how things are going for her, right?
Yeah. That's a great point.
Right. You know what I mean? If she's happy and if things are going well.
Yeah.
you know, good for Flo, right? I mean, I love her commercials, so.
Yeah, and check this out. I don't know if you can see this right now. This is some hard-hitting news. So she doesn't make a penny off the Halloween costume she made famous. So that's a discussion of the day. Are we doing an injustice to Flo? Should she be making money off that Halloween costume? What do you think? I feel like that's a really, hard stuff. Like, TMZ ran out of stories for the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what though? I think that's that's, you know what I mean? Like, you go to work and you wear black pants and a white dress shirt.
Yeah.
And you know, when that's your job and you wind up doing commercials, I mean, and then they go as what, the car guy? You know, you're gonna get paid on that?
I don't know. I don't know. That's
all right. I mean, I don't want to call it fake news. But I do like that word, though.
You know what?
I think I'm going to make a T-shirt of that. Fake news.
You know what? Fake news. So I don't know if that is fake news or not, but, you know, that's funny. The best part is we're just doing this live. Like, I don't know if this is something that she said, that she's upset about.
But who owns the outfit, though? Right?
Well, I would assume Progressive. It's a dress shirt and an apron.
Right? So with their name on it, and I mean, her name. Is her name Flo?
I don't know, man. Like, I can't, like, copyright anything.
Like, how deep we got to dig here?
I don't know, but right? Something's
if it's not her. If it's not her outfit and it's not her name,
yeah,
right. And it's just paid advertising. You know, that's, I don't know. That's, that's a touchy one.
That is a touchy one. You know, the funny thing, I honestly, if we're gonna get this conversation rolling, I quite honestly love to get PETA involved, because if Flo is being paid, I definitely want to make sure that lizard from Geico is getting paid too. Because,
right,
you know, this is where the rubber meets the road, man. You really got to get into it.
If I dressed up as the Geico lizard for Halloween.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who's getting royalties on that?
Should he be getting royalties?
Yeah. So do those even exist? You know what's crazy? I feel like a way to know that you've made it is if that's a thing people dress up for during Halloween, eh? So
the Gecko Geico?
No, just if somebody dresses up as you as a Halloween costume, right? That's how I guess it's pop culture, right? But check that out. I guess all the Geico costumes are all DIY. You're basically just buying a frog costume. And right. You're getting some Bristol. Oh,
there's one. There's one with Flo.
Where's Flo? And Geico? Oh, yeah. Wow.
There we go.
And who's this little guy? And Maxwell the Pig? Is that an insurance guy or a TV show?
Maybe. I'm sure.
Jeez, man. That's interesting, eh? Maxwell the Pig. I don't know. Yeah. You know what's funny, actually? It's funny you say that. Okay, so whenever I'm road tripping the States, I swear every other TV commercial is the General. You know who I'm talking about?
Right, right. Yep.
Call the General and save some time.
Why do they have any Shaqs on there, right? Is it Shaq? Yeah, there's Shaq. Shaq-y.
And then do you see this guy in the corner over here?
That's the Snoop.
That's right, man. And I'm so upset because I had the Snoop Dogg sound loaded. But I don't have it here today. But that's crazy. So Snoop Dogg did an insurance commercial. He got paid. Obviously, Snoop Dogg got paid for that. There's no doubt. Shaq got paid. So has anybody done a cameo with Flo? That's really interesting, eh?
You know, again, I mean, that could be episode 1.27, right?
Yeah, I guess we'll just do them in increments.
If you want me to do some digging, I can do some digging tomorrow.
Yeah, like,
you know.
So in the States, you got the General, you got Geico, you got Flo. The Canadian insurance companies, man, I don't know if we're just above that. Or does that marketing work in Canada? I don't, like, isn't that weird, eh? We don't have a mascot in our insurance companies, right?
You know what? I don't think we do. I mean, again, if somebody's watching this, please, like, you know, let us know. Let us know if we're missing something here.
Yeah, Aflac. Right? That's a pill company. That's not an insurance company. Liberty Mutual. Yeah, they have that. The Statue of Liberty. You're right. State Farm. Okay, this is just a guy, so we don't know. But that's food for thought, man. It's something you never know, right?
I know.
Okay, we'll get out of this. We'll get out of this area. you know what? We'll go back and talk about the Cypher sec. So one of the cool things we've been doing over the past little bit is we've been filming a lot of guys and gals in the industry we're really excited about. We've been doing a couple of videos, basically the segment of Ask an Expert. Sorry, my timer's going off here. So Nick, you take that over. I'm just going to reset the camera one more time. Tell them about it.
Well, Ask an Expert. I mean, we're excited about that. You know, that's going to be the big thing, you know, for Conquest. And we want to have the experts on. You know, we want to get their opinion. We want to challenge them in a fun way. You know, we want them to bring their expertise to the table. And also, you know, it's a great thing for the consumer. You know, you get some good inside information on what's going on in the world of cars. And
I can't wait, Nick.
Also, we're excited. We're excited about that.
I can't wait till we get you know, some technicians on, and we get to ask them questions. That's going to be a lot of fun when we get to, you know, get to know technicians, guys in the industry who, you know, always in the back, you know, the back shop that don't seek the light of the attention, that don't seek the attention, right? But know so much, you know, about cars. And it's funny, like, one of the things that that I talk about all the time, and you kind of hear me, and I talk to our other good guys, you know, Sam, Car Legion, our YouTube buddies, a lot of the guys who preach on YouTube that do these car reviews, it's funny because you can tell just the car knowledge that they have, not to knock all of them, a lot of them are very templated against one another. They're looking at spec sheets, right? But the thing that I feel like is missing from a lot of these interviews or you know, reviews, I would love, imagine if there was a car review done by a mechanic. Right. You know, him talking about if this is going to be a good car to buy because it's going to be hard to work on, or the battery's in a strange place, or, you know, that's something that's so sorely missing right now, of an actual guy or girl that's a specialist on that vehicle. You know, whether it's a guy or girl who designed it, talking about the cool features in it and what makes it so new and, you know, worth purchasing, or even just, again, that powertrain side of things, it reliable. Like, that's so needed right now.
The old story is, I mean, if you're privy to walk into the back of a dealership where all the techs are and they're working, and you want to know about a car, you get to go and ask them. Well, you're right. Most of the public don't have that opportunity, and they just kind of go with what they get on the internet, you know, and to make their decision.
And you know the worst thing? You know the worst thing? The only time most people see mechanics as when there's something wrong with their car. That's the worst thing about it.
Yeah,
that's, you know, the mechanic's only coming out because he's showing you your brake pads that are no longer there, right? He never gets to come, like, he gets to be the hero in some cases, don't get me wrong. There's some great customers and guys out there, but.
But you're right. He always comes out. He's the bearer of bad news, right? Of course, yeah.
You know, I came out with the cracked part, and this is what you got to replace for that. So getting them, you know, being able to show the good parts that won't break. I think that's something that the industry needs right now, especially, you know what? It's funny. We're a bunch of schmucks talking about that new hybrid Yaris, right? Can you imagine if we had a mechanic on, if he would talk about that, you know, saying, I really, that's going to be interesting. Where are they going to store the battery? It's already tight to work on that car, right? That's such a different perspective, eh? In terms of it being easy to work on, easy to fix. Like, that's
we're going to make that our mission, though, right? I mean, that's going to be our mission, is to get these guys on. I mean, they're full of knowledge. You know, you can have a Toyota tech for 20 years. I mean, he knows a hybrid in and out. I mean, he could share information that a salesman could never deliver.
The best, you know, part,
like,
is
just the wealth of knowledge these guys have.
And you're so right. Like, the best part is a sales guy is going to tell you what's on the spec sheet, and a mechanic is going to tell you in 10 words or less. You know, he's going to have the most simple explanation, right? That's the best part about it, right?
But also too, Nick, also too, don't forget though, sales guys that believe in what they're selling at the time. Like, if you've got a hybrid guy, he's going to share information with you that he got from his customers, or he might be driving one, but you're right. In the whole scheme of things, the average sales guy talking about a hybrid vehicle is probably reading from a spec sheet. So going back to having an actual hybrid master mechanic or tech, now they call them technicians now, guys.
Yeah, technicians.
they're going to have so much more information. And I'm so excited, again, to have them on the, Ask an Expert.
Episode 1.2, Ask an Expert. You know, we're going to have a mechanic. Is that our goal?
That is, it's going to be our goal. I don't know where it's going to come in the point one and two area, but you know, it's going to be an absolute goal, because I think this is good information for the consumer and for sales guys. I mean, everybody out there, I mean, you're going to hear something that you're going to be like, wow, I didn't know that. Well, these are the guys that repair them. So I think they're going to have some behind the scenes information, and I'm excited. I'm totally excited, and we'll definitely keep you guys posted on when that's going to happen. So,
yeah, and you know what's interesting too? I would love to ask a mechanic if we're talking, the used buy, because this is going to be something that's going to be so widely needed, right? Talking about the value of a pre-owned electric car as opposed to a hybrid. That's going to be a really interesting conversation in the next couple of years, right? Because that's going to be a lot of mechanics that you're going to require a lot of know-how, right? If and that's going to be such an interesting segment in the next year, right? Even 2 years. You talk about is the hybrid for $3,000 less, is that going to be better bang for your buck than the full EV? That's going to be so interesting, eh? Just the price of used cars and how that makes a difference. Because they're going to be different, like different beasts, man. That's going to be crazy.
Well, I tell you one thing, Nick, and I'm glad you brought that up. You'll find even now, if you have an electric vehicle that's used, first of all, they're few and far between, right? I think they're going to be one in every 150.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to hold some resale value, because it's going to be the supply and demand issue, right?
No kidding.
That's going to be a big thing. But again, hold on. Let's go back a couple of notches. Not everybody's looking for that car either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Where they lie. But you're right. But I just think about problems down the road.
Yeah.
What mechanics have run into.
Yeah.
3 to 5 years down the road, especially with electric vehicles. I think like the hybrid aspect of it, I think these guys got it down pat, because it's been over 20 years.
Yeah, it's pretty matured technology.
Yeah, they've seen the problems come and go, right? But I think going into the electric segment, it's going to be good that not one company is holding that information, right? There's a lot of guys now building electric cars, which is going to be great. It's going to be great information too, especially for the future. Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And you want to see something crazy. So I just pulled up. So this is a tool, guys, on our website. It's a hybrid vehicle cost and savings calculator. So real simple. We've done the math for you. All you got to do is drag around some sliders and information. So I have this assuming that it's you're comparing a gas and a hybrid. So let's do this. I'm going to throw a curveball. This is interesting. You can see this, right? For a hybrid car, let's just say in the near future, you're going to be using zero. Let's just do a 0.1. I don't know, 0.2 for electricity. Let's just say that's going to be the cost, right? 0.4 liters in terms of gas to electricity, right? The hybrid getting you 6 liters per 100 kilometers, right? If you're paying an extra, and this is something I'm just curious about, eh? If you're paying an extra $4,000 for the full electric and you drive 20,000 kilometers a year, basically, this math is a little wonky, but years until hybrid premium is paid for, basically, it's going to take you 3 years to pay off the extra $4,000, which is interesting, from that non-hybrid. So it's going to be real cool, because you're going to see these tools pop up all over dealer websites. It's going to add such a different dimension. Buying a car is going to be so much harder. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's going to get more, I guess there's going to be more information a consumer has to consider, right? Because now all of a sudden, again, you're doing those comparisons between those two values. Like, it's gas and fuel economy is going to be such a big part of ownership, or I should say a little part of ownership if you're buying the car, right? That doesn't consume that. So kind of neat, eh?
Yeah. It's very interesting. Very interesting. I think, with what's going on right now in the world, everything is just up in the air, right?
Yeah.
I never thought in the first 2-3 weeks that fuel would drop by 40 cents a liter.
That's crazy.
Or 45 cents a liter, right? I mean, I haven't seen those numbers since 2002.
Wild.
Right? So again, And we're also talk about infrastructure, you know? But it's true though, right?
So I want to share something funny that my general sales manager said, and this had me laughing, right? We were talking about the future of EV. I think I told you this one before, Nick, but we were saying, or he was saying, if the government is telling all of us to turn off our air conditioning units in the summer, okay, because there's too much of a load on the server, how are we going to have everybody charging their two electric cars per driveway overnight? Everybody in the city, right? Every house. How are you going to have that bandwidth of electricity? That's funny. Like, you know, you can't even spin a fan, right? Now, all of a sudden, again, maybe we're totally left field here, but I just think that's going to use a lot more juice than maybe our lines were set up for, so... And that doesn't even consider the fact of the remote charging. You know, all of a sudden you're on the road. The gas stations have been outfitted with three charging plugs, and you know, everybody needs them. Like, what do you do, right?
Yeah, it's gonna. You're definitely, like anything, you're gonna have to adjust, right? If you want to go down that road, and you feel that my next car has to be a full electric car, you have to look at what's gonna transpire over the next 3 to 7 years. You know, of you owning that car, right? Where the conveniences are, where the inconveniences are, you know, because it always comes with inconvenience. You know, let's face the facts. I mean, if the further and further you go out of the city, there's less gas stations, right? Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you know, when you see that sign, gas station, 150 kilometers,
yeah,
but you don't know, it doesn't say anything about charging your electric car.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fine line, right? I mean,
you know what had me laughing too? I was thinking, like, the original, you know, you see all these advertisements for the big boys, you know, the cars that are what, the 200 grand plus. You're talking about the Rolls Royces and all those guys. I'm laughing because the whole idea is you're like an A-level executive, right? You're doing business and commerce in your car. What just had me laughing is you think about the next 5 years, right? I think cars with the amount of stuff in them, like for God's sake, you have Wi-Fi in most cars now. They're going to literally turn into offices. How funny would that be? That all of a sudden, if that just becomes an accepted thing, that you're at the gas station or the charging station, and all of a sudden a car like the Prius is going to be the car you buy if you do a lot of work in your car, or you're on the road, or like an outside sales rep. Can you imagine that? Because it's going to come preloaded with Wi-Fi. Maybe there's going to be connectivity on the infotainment so you can have like a dual monitor setup or something stupid.
Well, I mean,
yeah, killing time charging your car at the gas station, right?
No, you're right. But I mean, if the OEMs and the manufacturers, they go that route, and that's their commercials that they're running during a golf game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, guys would be like, "Oh man, I never thought of that. I could work in my car."
but it's true, right? You know how like the Dodge Caravan, they always do like the montage of the stow and go of the soccer balls and you know all that in seating. Just had me laughing because like you see all these slick slow down shots of a guy popping open the desk in the back of the top Mercedes, right? And it's got all that goofy stuff. It's like that's so impractical. Like how much work are people doing? Then all of a sudden you're gonna see the Prius is designed for work on the road or something like that, right? And you're going to be able to... Right?
The passenger seat becomes an office chair. You know,
honestly, I don't see that as being something that's weird, right? And that's just funny thinking about that right now.
Well, I think, you know, I think a lot of... I know a lot of guys have done a lot of things and... with changes and stuff like that, but we're going to definitely see a lot of changes in the next 6 to 12 months. That's for sure. You know, especially when it does come to working from home and working in your car. And
honestly, right? Like, check that out. Just a setup that'll be standard. That all of a sudden you're going to be paying more on your phone bill to have that connection through your car, right?
Well, I was watching the Money News today, and I'm just, you know, a guy used the best thing, you know, consumer consumption.
Yeah.
You know, what is that going to be? Right. You know, like, what is that going to be? I mean, you know, we're guys in the car business, you know, and when the guy says something like people are not going to want to share rides with people, they're not going to want to take public transit, you know, they're going to look for the car that they can afford.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? And just want to be kind of like their own gunslinger type of thing. Right. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the world,
man,
as a whole, you know.
I'm still, man, you know me, I'm hung up on this idea that this whole work from home thing, is just going to become like, how many phone calls do you take on your Bluetooth in your car? You know, it's like so much gets done. Like, how many cars have you sold on the way home?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're right.
For a guy like, you know, a guy like you, now imagine you're a software sales guy, right? Or you're again just a regular person talking to your team on the road in traffic. Who cares now? Bring on the traffic, right? Especially if the car is driving itself, right? Talking about it. you're on the 401. It's not so bad anymore. You know that you're making overtime while you're on the 401 now.
can you imagine the commercials?
Yeah, that would be smooth, man.
Your office is now closed.
Wow.
You don't feel like sitting at home at working.
And the best part is in the future we live in, Nick, your car is going to be driving around on its own in the city, not using any gas, and you're going to be breathing the purest quality air with those brand new HEPA air filters, just to throw back right to the beginning of the episode. You like that, eh? The purest air.
Wow. The premium.
It's good. And then they'll start giving you packages, right? You can buy like the upgraded package that gives you a little bit of, smell in the air to boost productivity. Oh, wow. The future that we're going to see.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
I almost feel like that's a good place to end it. Honestly. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
That was a great episode. It was a great episode. I enjoyed myself and this is great. But let's make sure that we make a point. Like, we people coming on and stuff like that. Hey, listen, if we've given you any fake news, feel free. Please feel free to correct us. You know,
live on the air. We want to hash it out right now.
Right. Yeah. If you want to meet at the next charging station and let's sort this out.
when you go to the charging station and everybody, all of them are being used, eh? That's funny, man.
And you take the D-size batteries out of your flashlight and you plug them into your car.
when you forget to plug the batteries back into your car. That's great, man.
That's some great stuff.
I think we'll wrap it up. So, guys, we'll just finish on a high note here. Check out our site, Conquest Cars Canada. This is going to be a podcast. This is super unstructured, fast and loose. We're going to get better as we go along. Believe us, we're fast learners. But if you're in market, if you want to do some research, help support a Canadian site, we're going to have a ton of really, really informed speakers on here, a lot of great people in the industry to try and share the good side of it, all the brilliant and smart minds that are now working in automotive, because it's definitely – you don't have mechanics anymore. You have technicians, right? You have engineers, right? So, just one of the small things. I guess that's it. Guys, I'm being dead serious. If you do want a phone charging cable, iPhone or Android Type-C, we have hundreds. And I want to give them all away before everybody's got wireless charging. That's it for me. Nick, do you got anything to say to the people?
Okay, listen, if you guys stuck around and listened to the whole thing, thank you. Thank you. If you listened to 5 minutes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. But we won't be issuing receipts. You will not get them back. So until episode 1.12, I guess we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for listening.
Take care.